Good evening, everybody. This is Terry Brown, the co-host of the Win Free Monday Night BBS Call. It is very good to welcome each and every one of you. Win will be on shortly. He's out rounding up the conference line. So we have a simulcast. We have BBS radio, and then we have the conference line where people call in to a certain number, and Win plugs them in to the BBS radio internet show. And then we're all together. And you hear in the background, you hear music that is performed by Daphne Caridonis and written by Daphne Caridonis. Playing the flute. She is a very good musician. She plays harp and she plays oboe and many instruments, and she teaches music. She's the one that's responsible for the first connection with the Elohim and bringing through the Elohim. And then it was something that later on I also brought in. So Wynn has been very busy lately making a series of YouTubes of information about the show and what has been brought through, information that's been brought through. He calls it Intelligent Infinity, Wisdom Beyond Zen. You can see some of those videos that he's been putting up on YouTube. He's been taking salient information that has been brought through from the Elohim and putting them into a visual form that someone can see on YouTube. So, Wynn should be here pretty soon. And if any of you want to hear any of our past broadcasts, we have the transcripts available for some of them, for a number of them, thanks to Connie and the team that has been transcribing and editing and putting them up. It's at thespiritchannel.net. You can see some of them up there. All the audios are up there, too. Also, BBS Radio has an archive, so if you subscribe to BBS Radio, you can go and look up any of our audios since 2007. They've all been put up there. After every show, the audio goes up, and an individual can go on and can listen. Eventually, they're going to be putting up the transcripts there, too, after Connie finishes transcribing it and I finish it editing it. We send a copy to BBS Radio. I don't think any of the transcripts are up there yet, but a number of the transcripts are up on the spiritchannel.net. So Wynn chooses a topic, and I never know what the topic is going to be beforehand, and this is at my request, because sometimes it sounds like the conference line's there. Do I hear Heis?
Hi, beautiful Terry. How are you?
Hi, Heis. You're on the air. Is Wynn there?
Terry is getting mushy again, okay?
I love it when he gets mushy.
Thank you, Terry, for covering me.
You know what? I think if somebody is listening to that, it sounds like we're a cult. And so people are out there tough. And then they start to think, oh, if it's a cult, I don't want anything to do with it. So, you know, we don't have followers. We just have people that keep showing up.
Yes, including ourselves.
And God forbid, if any of you think you're followers, you're in the wrong place.
Yes.
And who just came on the line?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Wynn.
Now, don't say anything nice, okay? You'll be in trouble.
Okay, nothing nice.
Who else is on the line?
Cindy's here from Peoria. How are you, Terry and Wynn?
Cindy, oh, it's nice to have you back.
I know. Hi, I was telling hi. This is my, you know, in school, one of the classes that I had to take was nice, and it interfered with the calls, so it's so nice to be back on again.
Mm-hmm. And who just came on?
That's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Wynn.
Nice to hear you. And anyone else on that wants to say hello?
No, Walt from British Columbia.
Walt?
Yep.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name from British Columbia.
Walt.
Walt. Walt, is this your first time on the line?
No, I've been on before, but various calls.
All right. Good to have you. I don't know if you identified yourself or I picked it up, but now I'll remember you. And anyone else on?
Tracy in West Virginia. How are you?
Tracy?
Hi, Wynn.
Is that Tracy?
It is. Good evening.
Good evening, Columbia. Did you guys read the topic for tonight?
Yes.
Did that make you want to listen? Did that make you want to listen in?
Sure. It always makes me want to listen in.
All right. Well, let's see here. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
I'm going to mute everybody, okay?
Okay.
We'll say hello to that person that just came in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Sure. It's Isis in New York.
Hello, Isis.
Hi, everyone.
How's the weather in New York?
Hey. The weather is actually nice. It was raining earlier, but it's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Spring.
Okay. All right. You know how you guys can tell this isn't a cult? You know how?
How?
Because I never asked you to turn over your life savings to us. Now, if anyone wants to do that, it's okay. I won't complain. But then we might have to. Then we'd have to rent a piece of land so you'd have somewhere to live, since you don't have any more money to pay your rent. That's how cults get started, right? And so let me. Anyone have anything to say before I mute you all? Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Just a moment. I'm going to start the recording. Well, you know what? I should make this one comment that Daphne made. Oh, wait a second. I didn't mute the tone.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Would you like to say your name and your city?
Aloha, Wynn. This is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Hello, Gina.
And this is Edna from New Snohomish, Washington.
Hello, Edna. Nice to have you both. And now I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. So before I start the recording, I'll tell you this funny comment Daphne made, but I don't want to put it on the recording. Do you know, Daphne comes from a background where she would have called herself I hope I'm not getting in trouble talking about her. I think she won't mind. I'm looking at that. Okay. She would call herself a mystical Catholic. And she approaches the connection with spiritual things with an aspect of reverence. And I think that that is fine. And for me, myself, I think that I can move into reverence. And I see the value of reverence. I see the value of sacred. And those of you who are on the calls on and off for a period of time, I'm sure you recognize those qualities on these calls, that we move into that. And there are other times, maybe it's part of the call, sometimes it's the whole call, where we're all human. And we talk about things from a human place. So Daphne was thinking that I am like Howard Stern's. But instead of introducing naked women, I'm introducing the Elohim. But she came to the conclusion that that was okay. Now, I don't know if I like to be like Howard Stern's. I don't know. Have you guys heard of Howard Stern's?
You look like him, right?
You know Howard Stern's is? I don't think he ever goes into reverence, okay? I think he stays fairly well on the human side. But he's very entertaining. He's engaging. If you start to watch him, it's hard not to keep listening because he holds your energy. And so my job is to hold the energy on the human side, because that means our sources can come in and they don't have to be holier than thou. Whereas with reverence, there always has to be a propitiation, so to speak. And, you know, there's a beautiful yielding of energies that happens on these calls, yielding to allow yourself to be, I better start recording. Hang on a second. I just didn't want to record that Howard Stern's comment. Somebody would judge it. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
So this is Monday, May 14th, 2012, and welcoming everybody to our BBS conference call tonight. And we were just having a question about humanness and reverence before we started recording. And you see, if I was doing something once a week, and I'm saying, or once a month even, and we're saying, now we're going to have this holy hour with our sources, and everyone would hush up, and we could do that. And I could do that once a month. But how can you be on a call three times a week and not be totally who you are? To be reverent three times a week. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but to be reverent to a public audience three times a week, then the human part of me would say, this is getting boring. Now, you notice that there's a consciousness, a group consciousness attached to these calls. And that consciousness is changing. Each of you is constantly, if you're paying attention, are kind of in a motion. It's kind of like catching a train, getting a ride, and then getting off, and catching a train, getting a ride, and getting off. And so things are evolving all the time. I'm evolving. And I'm not evolving because I personally am evolving, although I probably am. But I'm evolving within the context of the group consciousness, the train we're all riding. And everyone is creating the train. And the idea is to make that train so strong that it just holds fast. And the more human I am, the more ordinary I am, the easier it is for other people to pay attention, to not feel like their power is being usurped by a source that is obviously extremely, I don't like to use the word exalted, but profound. And a source which is important, a source that is the highest aspect of ourselves in context of the law of one, that we're all part of each other. So this call makes them public. It makes it possible for them to address a bunch of strangers, and they don't have to be, put up on a pedestal. And in that way, it creates the maximum opportunity for energetic contact. Because to me, the most important, there's a number of things that happen in this work. First of all, we get a lot of wisdom about how things work down here and how we work and how we got here, and a lot of wisdom that can help crack cellular memories that can expand us, can expand our awarenesses, actually change the way we feel inside of ourselves. And I know many of you have had that experience, so you know what I mean. But there's no force involved. It comes from inside you. It doesn't come from giving up your power to something outside of yourself. And then there is this energy on the call, and it comes in like clockwork. And not everybody can feel it, but enough people feel it, so it couldn't possibly be accidental. And then we have voices that tell us that they're the energy. And we can't prove that. But then we have to listen to the way they explain themselves and see how it fits. And then we have people coming in on these calls, and suddenly they have a healing. They have a transformation. Something happens that wouldn't happen by the laws of the normal physical universe. And the sources talking to us say they were helping. So this is something that if someone is looking at it, then this is not going to be a quick decision. And this is going to be a process of your own evaluation. And no one here is claiming anything. And I may believe certain things are true, and someone else may believe things are true, but until someone new discovers the truth of it, then our job is to hold for them, give them the space to have their own experience, not to try to define their experience. And in that way, we become a group consciousness. And we become affiliated with these, I use the word high, I don't even like to use the word high, but I'll use it, very high sources in the matrix, perhaps the highest sources in the matrix, who are so glad to be having a group of people down here that can get it in the right way, that can get it in a way that creates loving energy, that creates family, that creates people turning towards each other and having more love for each other as a result. So that's what happens, and that's why when people new come into the call and they hear everybody saying hello to each other and they sound really warm, and a bunch of people that never met each other, it's like that's why that experience is occurring. And there's no click here. There's no in-group. It's just a group of people coming together, and magical energies occur in this environment, and they feel the energies, and they open up, and they open up not only to the energies on the line, they open up to each other. And see, as I talk, I move right into the sacred. As I say that, I feel the energies shifting. So I announced tonight a pretty topical topic. And I don't think Terry knows what it is. Did you look at your computer, Terry?
No, I didn't.
No. Well, it has to do with, I scan the internet. I look to see what's going on and who's saying what. I look at what David Wilcock is saying. I look at all kinds of different things. And I don't believe anything. I'm tough on things. And I see, where is there a pattern? What is true? What is not true? And, of course, one of the things that many people are out there saying is that the positive has won. And that things that there's going to be mass arrests, and there's going to be all kinds of things going on, and it's kind of out of our hands. And we just have to wait and let it transpire. Now, in the course of all my questioning, I am not necessarily getting that that's true. And even in the course of evaluating what David Wilcock is saying, at the time that I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there were things they said to him, and he approved them. They're in the book. Things like, David, get your ego out of the way. Let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. Now, when I put that in the book, I didn't believe it necessarily. There's a lot of things that I couldn't evaluate, but I was open to the possibility. And I've watched things, and then I've cross-referenced things with Daphne and Terry and Carla Ruckert and strangers that I just bring up on the Internet. And one of the things in the Carla Ruckert channelings that really made me cautious was the Ra group, through Carla Ruckert, was saying how the Orions, you know, the Orions are essentially the major service self, perhaps sometimes called the reptilians, I believe, how they influence this realm. And what they said was, this is my paraphrase, so I might not get it perfect, but the general idea was that they work with the realm and turn it against itself so it voluntarily yields submission. And that they don't conquer the realm because that would create karma. And they're very advanced negatively, so they understand karma. They don't go out of their way to conquer things, but they get other people down here doing their bidding, and people think that they're dealing with something exalted. I believe this is actually the nature of Lucifer, okay? That comes through this group. And so they also channel. These are not dummies. They are really sharp. They are really sharp. And they channel. And if they're talking to someone who has serviced self and they made a contact, they will make them feel that they can give them lots of power and to do their bidding and you end up with people like Aleister Crowley or Adolf Hitler, who all had great occult contacts, and they're doing the bidding of this group. But if they're dealing with a positive person, somebody that's service to others, particularly somebody that's channeling, the way it was described is they would take over the channeling. And it doesn't mean 100%, but part of it. And so there would be positive information in the channeling, and then there would be misleading information. It doesn't even look negative. It doesn't look bad. It's just misleading. And then there was the indication that both Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock, and this was in the book, and David approved it, had both connected with negative sources. And the prophecy of Edgar Cayce's, that is his most famous prophecy, which has to do with, I call it the devastation prophecy. Some of you might be familiar with it, where California was going to go in the ocean, Japan was going to disappear in the blink of an eye, Europe was going to disappear, there'd be this huge cataclysm and everything would fall apart. That was Cayce's most famous prophecy of all his work. And even when I was younger, I read that. I remember I was with my friends and they said, geez, should we leave town, okay? And David's channelings, they said that that was from a negative source. It wasn't from them. And when I was younger and I was reading Cayce, I remember reading that prophecy. And somewhere else in the Cayce readings, it was said, these changes will come gradually. We're talking about this period right now. And I made the comment to myself, how can they both be true? Why, in one prophecy, it said they're going to happen in a blink of an eye, and another one, they're going to come gradually. And so now I know why it's true, because they were from different sources. And if I have it correct, the one where they said they're going to come gradually was from the Ra group. And the one that it was going to be devastation was not. And in fact, I searched the Cayce prophecies. I researched them. And that particular prophecy, the devastation one, had a byline. Many of his channelings did not have a byline. Do you know what a byline is? That's where the writer identifies himself. So the byline for that particular prophecy had a name, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to invoke any. I'm probably already talking about this. You see, when you're dealing with a group matrix energy, as you guys learned when you listened to the crop circle thing, we have to approach these topics extremely carefully, because we want to sidestep invoking, bringing in any of these sources. So that particular prophecy had H, we'll say, was the author of it. And I did the whole search on the Cayce prophecies, and I found out that being had come up other times. And essentially, in one of them, he said, I am in the heavens like Jesus was to your realm. What a temptation, you see, to give up your power, a hierarchy. And another point came up. It was indicated that the Cayce study group, which analyzed the Cayce readings and what Cayce was doing, and made recommendations to Cayce and about what they think would be good or bad, they stopped bringing this being in who made that prophecy because they didn't trust him. And Cayce's normal source was generally called the source, and Cayce thought it was the Christ. And, of course, if you're tracking all our material, you'll definitely know there was a connection, deep connection, between the Ra group and Jesus. So, you see, it was all fitting in for me in little segments as I was studying this. And so, armed with this information, I start reading a lot of the current channelings of people. And so oftentimes they're very loving, but they're patronizing. Their loving is patronizing. And suddenly they're saying the negative is done away with. Or they're saying we're going to have big earth changes on December 21st, 2012. Now, if in fact there's enough I'm not sure exactly how this works, so we're going to ask about it. If in fact there's enough people believing something is going to happen, it's possible the consciousness of the people that are holding that thought might create it. Another possibility is what we call the negative, and the negative in this realm is very real. They're behind the scenes, they manipulate governments, they manipulate things in huge ways. They may attempt to create something just because they have the opportunity to, because of all the prophecies that are happening right now. Now, some of you remembered, I guess it was maybe 5 or 6 months ago, we had one of our Monday night talks. And the topic had to do with revelations. And I started to look at revelations, and I said, this particular chapter of the Bible seems to me like it could have been from a negative source, because it was talking about doom and gloom, it was talking about fear. And to understand the nature of negative sources, you know, you think of somebody as negative and they just look mean all the time. But in the universe, and this is something that I have come to believe to be true, and I don't want to explain all the reasons why. I can refer to Carla Ruckert's Raw material, where, you know, she talks about 8 densities, 8 dimensions, 8 timelines where there's existence taking place. And, of course, the Earth is in the 3rd density, and it's moving into the 4th density. And it was indicated that a service to self being can go as high as 6th density. And in order to go any further, they have to switch. And then they move into the law of one. Well, I would postulate that at the high end of our universe, we have very powerful 6th density beings who are programming this realm. And they can program it over thousands of years. And it's like they can make long-range plans and put things into the timelines down here in order to cause them to happen. And things that we might totally take for granted could be programmings of this high-level negative. There were some indications, I haven't done the research on this, but there were indications that the Hebrew alphabet was part of that programming. Indications that things like the Kabbalah was part of that programming. And on these calls, on the sources we're talking about, they have indicated that they are above that program. They're above it. And if enough people in this realm can connect to above that programming, then that doesn't have to happen. Now I ask myself, if that's true, how come I don't have 1 million people on these calls? How come nobody can talk about this to anybody? So I say, I'm not sure of the predisposition of this realm, or the other idea is maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe I've got a negative source, and everyone else is right. And that's where each person has to come to their own conclusion. Because there are so many people running around right now saying, there's nothing to worry about. The positive has won. And, you know, if something happens that's really tough, what they're going to say is, we've been betrayed. And then they're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And they're going to just say, things are the way they are. And you know, of course, the goal is to create a new world order government and a one world government. And on the surface, that doesn't necessarily sound bad, because if there was one benevolent government running the world and using resources to help people and saying, well, this country has more of this, so we'll move it over here, and this country has more of this, and we'll move it over there, that would be a really great thing, because it would balance resources all over the world. The problem is that, as I am fairly certain this is true, those sources that are behind this are connected to these negative sources I'm talking about in other dimensions. And they will use this one world government as a way of controlling us, controlling this realm. And I've had personal experience. I've watched this. Some of it I don't want to talk about. But how any time there is a very positive influence in this realm that is reaching and uplifting people and sending them into higher dimensional experiences, the negative takes it over. Every time. Not just sometimes. Every time. And the only way to do something is to decentralize it so that it's not centered around one person. It's not centered around one building. Because as soon as it's centralized, it's susceptible to being co-opted. And you might notice that when somebody becomes very famous as a pop icon, a musician, who is not able to be controlled, they don't last very long. Because icons who become famous have the potential to liberate a lot of people and tell the truth if they know it. And many of them do. If you look at the people who have been killed, you look at Michael Jackson, you look at John Lennon, okay? And I don't know about Whitney Houston, but Bob Marley, okay? Many of the people that hold the frequencies of connection to higher realms don't last if they can't be controlled. So this is a huge thing we're dealing with in this realm, and how to get through it, and how to make a difference, how to stay alive, and, you know, and perhaps one doesn't have to be afraid of dying, but it's good to be around if you can make a difference. So the two areas, the area that I'm pretty sure is true, that I know that I can succeed in, and that is, I know that certain people that are going to pay attention to this work are going to graduate this realm. And whether that's 1 million or 100, that's a big success. You know, according to the Law Group, 25,000 years ago, there was another opportunity like this for graduation, and no one graduated. No one. Or if they did, if they were eligible, they didn't want to, because they wanted to stay around and keep working on the liberation of consciousness in this, on this planet. So I know I can succeed, and I'm sure I already have succeeded, in certain people making the connections, opening their hearts, learning how to do this. So they're going to graduate. And what does graduation mean? Of course, anyone new that's listening, you'd have to really study my materials to back all this up. And I don't like to draw conclusions, so let me tell you, just sharing what it is. There's this unusual thing that's happening in terms of our future lives. And I believe that there's this dimensional shift. The Earth is graduating to fourth chakra, fourth heart chakra. And, of course, all the sources were saying that in order to go with this new Earth, you have to have your heart open, or else you have to be a cycle repeater. And if you're a cycle repeater, you get moved to another planet in another star system to repeat third dimension power and individuality as opposed to compassion and empathy. Now, I think that's true. That came through David Wilcock. It came through Carla Rucker. It came through Daphne. It came through Terry. And it came through Jesus, who was preparing us for this period. He didn't quite say it that way. He said it in the way people could understand it at the time. But it's essentially the same thing. One will be taken, one will be left behind, the meek will inherit the earth. And so I think we're succeeding in creating people that will graduate. And if you take this seriously, and if you're, like, wondering if it's going to work for you, I would suggest be sure and come in on our calls. Get the understanding. Be sure and read our books. See if it resonates, because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I got a negative source. Maybe I'm misleading people. I don't think so. Too many good things come out of this. And Jesus said, by your fruits you shall be known. This work has a lot of fruits to it. But nonetheless, you have to test it. You can't just believe it because I'm a good speaker. You have to feel those energies. You have to see the logic connecting all these things. And if you don't take the opportunity to read the books, given what's at stake, then you're missing a big chance for your own evolution. So on that note, let me just talk about the two books that are out there. The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You can go to returnofedgar.com and you can buy it on that website through Amazon. And you can also buy it through us. And you'll get a signed copy and you'll get a 45-minute interview I did with Ra Group, speaking through Wilcock, or what said they were the Ra Group. And then the second book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, which is available for free. It's available at creatorgodbook.com, which tells the story of what happened to me and this voice that said they were the Elohim. And half the book is my conversations with the Elohim as came through Terry. And there's many things of Daphne in there as well. So if you haven't read those books, they say, as you read, as you study us, we study you. Reading the books is a way of tuning into their energies. And if you tune into their energies, they're going to tune into your energies. So if you're not doing that, you're missing a huge opportunity. These are like no other books you'll ever read today. And I haven't seen them anyway. And, I mean, I get so many testimonials on the Creator God book, you know, because it's like fitting in the real explanation of Christianity, of the shift, and explaining it from the sources that created this realm. And so getting back to our topic, because I wanna, you know, this is a tricky topic, because I don't want to ask questions about bringing in, you know, as we know, if I ask the wrong questions, it opens up the matrix to the wrong sources. So the real thing about this is we know we're on a pivotal point. We know this is a shift going on. And what's the best way to stand here in that wind of shift and take care of ourselves, take care of our loved ones, and prepare for the future? And what are the dangers? You know, we've kind of already answered, but I'm going to ask it again about the positive is one and the negative is disappeared, and it's just a matter of picking up the pieces. Now, if they tell us that's true, we can consider that. You know, again, with regards to channeling, even our sources, I tell people, consider everything. Don't believe it because they say it. But we'll ask them anyway. We'll get their point of view. The most important aspect of these channelings is the wisdom that comes through, the triggers that the wisdom can bring to our daily lives, and the sense of connection with these sources, becoming friends with them. This is not about prophecy here. They don't like prophecy because prophecy locks things in. And we're dealing with sources, if everything is accurate, that nothing is locked in. And if there were more people paying attention, we could shift this entire realm. This is a rare thing we're doing here. And on that note, we have about, not much time, we have about 10 minutes. Are you ready, Terry?
Yeah.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line and everyone on the replays. Right now, we release our negativity to the highest realms of light and transmute it for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of our solar system, through the solar system, through the sun, the moon, through the outer energy fields of the earth, and through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. That means we're making a connection of all of us on this line. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us to create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over to our sources to address us through Terry Brown.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is May 14th, 2012. We're getting an echo. Is that something that you hear also?
We don't hear an echo.
Okay. We will attempt to continue with the echo. We send out light, we search for the correct words. Ascend is not the right word. As we are present, we are there. We are non-linear, and we are available in your space, next to your space, for those that wish to make connection. And we send you love light, and much we not send you, but we impart love light, and we are with you, and it is with great appreciation and we feel honored that we are able to bring this connection to you. We take a minute and we caress and touch each person with love light that wishes to receive the connection. We are mindful of the things that you have brought up, and we do see that posturing of each and every one of you, the posturing towards positivity, towards connection, towards the positive, makes a track in the consensus, and it helps Earth, Mother Gaia, and each and every person who is so connected to maintain balance and maintain a positive attitude. There is a story that is true. There were some people in a parking lot, and an individual was in the parking lot, and he had some flat tires upon his car, and he came over to a group of about four people in the parking lot, and he was very angry, and he cursed the car, and he cursed the day, and then after much cursing, he walked away to attempt to get some help for his car. And one of the four people there that heard this said, "What is the matter with him? How come he is having such a strong reaction?" And another person said, "He has no unseen support." When one has the support of the higher positive realms, it helps to balance one. It helps to maintain one's center. We are happy to provide this service. Do you have questions?
Well, on the topic of the day, which is obviously there's a lot of stuff going on about 2012, December 21st, what's going to happen? Has the positive won? Has the negative won? And they've just snuck through and we don't know it. We know that there is a battle between positive and negative going on in other dimensions, or I think there is, and that and everyone wants to know how it's going to work out. So is there, just how about giving us a current report on however you want to address that?
Thank you. Again, we say that when one maintains one's positive internal balance, it dishes above and beyond whatever happens in one's manifest life in the third density. and this will serve one well and carry one through whatever happens. Although there may be trauma, we see that there can be negative influences that are laid upon one in the third density. Well, one of them is to encourage individuals to build up debt, which then makes them weaker, and it takes away their centering. So we can recommend that individuals get into as strong a financial position as they can to pay off debt as they can, and to maintain their shelter and their housing in as debt-free way as possible. For then, the individuals are stronger and can have more supplies, more support for their survival. This is one way that individuals everywhere can gain strength. There is time to do this, to begin a plan, to not build up more debt, but to pay down debt, to pay off mortgages. It reverts back to the individual to keep his or her house in order and to do the actions that are necessary to maintain a strong, grounded position. There are, as with always in the third density, things that may arrive on one's horizons that can set them back, such as possibility of earthquake, and such as possibility of flooding. There are natural things that can happen in the course of life in the third density. But the third density is not the be-all and end-all of their life. And they can learn to be centered and to move through these things. You are asking concerning things like economics, political control. Yes.
We better cut this short because I think BBS is going to cut us off. And maybe we'll continue next week and start, now that we set the groundwork for this, we'll continue with, if Terry's up for it, a whole call where we get more understanding of how to approach this period. Thank you so much for
calling. We impart love light to each and every one of you, and thank you, Adonai.
And thank you all, and I see you as having the potential to be the leaders of the future, not the followers, the leaders, to hold for others, to have the courage and the love and the grounding to do that. So on that note, thank you for being here, and thank you, BBS, and thank all our volunteers. And we'll see you, some of you, on Wednesday.
To stop conference recording, press 1. To return to the conference, your conference recording has stopped.